Right, so Psalm 103. Okay, I'm going to blank that. Can I do that? Oh, I've got to turn it on. And then if I blank it... No. One of them. Oh, that's working. That's good. Okay, so Psalm 103. We'll get there. We'll put that there. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with a steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the west is from the east, from the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules above all. Bless the Lord, O his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Father God, and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you make these words so real. When we look at you on the cross. And Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can enable us to just hear you speak through these words today. We pray that through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. Well, obviously I'm not going to read all that or preach on all that today. I'm going to look at probably verses 15 to 19. But just to help us understand a passage, it's good to read the whole passage to get the context. I want to think about your life and for you, what is life all about? And what really matters to your life? What is one of your greatest values, something that you really pursue and want to lay hold of? For some, it's the pursuit of education. Maybe you're at that age. Bessie's at that age, probably the pursuit of education. thinking about her next step. Other things like careers, success, maybe achievements, something about reaching your potential of life, that point where you said, at last, I've made it, I've got there. For other people, it's the relationships, that finding that one person to spend your life with. We've got people here in relationships going through those things. Thinking about raising children to contribute to society, to be loved or to feel that love in a relationship. So it's one other thing that people can pursue in life. For others, it's the experience of life. We want that happiness, that excitement, that enjoyment, the thrill of life. Thinking of happiness, I think about that movie Pursuit of Happiness of Will Smith, how he was looking for happiness in his life, trying to get there by all the efforts and work he was doing. Others spend their life trying to make an impact in our world. We've got lots of causes today. Lots of people wanting to change our world. Whether it's save a person, save a whale, save a tree, save the planet, whatever it is, there's all these causes. And these are all great things. These are all great pursuits. All these things can be found under God. But how important are they to the big picture of life? What's life all about? What really matters? to your life. I wonder what your answer would be. We've just read Psalm 103, and in God's word, God gives us a rare look at the reality, the true realities of life. It gives us a reality check about who we are and who God is. Psalm 103 is declaring to us what really matters. It's teaching us the why to life. It's the what really matters in your life. So to give you some background, the Psalms is in the Old Testament. Most of you know that. It's written before the arrival of Jesus. And it's a poetic Hebrew songs, many of them written by King David. And the Old Testament is where God dealt with his people as a nation. This was called Israel. You'll see that in the text. And the Old Testament is what we'd call, in a theological way, the partial kingdom of God, because Jesus hasn't arrived yet. And so in this, God is raising up kings and prophets, and ultimately Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. And King David was raised up, who wrote this psalm. Today I want us to draw our attention mostly to, like I said, verses 15 and 19, as we look at what God has to say to us through his word. There are two points, I'll go back to that again. There are two points about reality contained within this text. And the first one is the reality of being human and life. And then the second point is the reality of who God is in comparison to us. Well, I wonder what your story is. I wonder what really matters to you. I'm sure if I asked 10 people, you'd probably discover 20 opinions. But today we want to consider what God has to say in this psalm, Psalm 103. I want you to journey with us and hear God speak and see if God can make sense to our lives. That even though this psalm was written many thousands of years ago, that God can speak to us today in 2019. In this psalm, God speaks to us about being human. God in love wisely tells us what life is like. And so our first point is that God reveals the realities of life. The realities of being human. I'm trying to depress you here, okay? Well, because at the end of this you want to have hope. But we are like grass. And we are like flowers. It's all very temporal. Verses 15 to 16. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. It's a pretty simple description of life. There's not much self-esteem words in these verses, and yet they're speaking so honestly to us. You eat, you grow, you gain a few skills, you get battered a bit, trampled a bit, then you grow weary, and sadly you die. Does sound a bit ordinary, does sound a bit average, but it is very brutally honest. But the psalmist follows with this, yet like a flower we flourish. But then it's all gone, like the wind blowing away all the little particles of the flower, gone away into the air. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place knows it no more. See, in this you see a picture of beauty, a beautiful flower. But it's quickly gone, no longer to be admired. You see, we do have moments of great beauty and achievements in our life. Moments our lives look splendid and glorious. Days of our youth on the sports field, or the energy we had when we're starting some new adventure. You know, Kath and myself, we often look at our wedding photos and we say, we were so young back then. You know, we're still young now, aren't we? But, you know, we're so young back then. And so there's some really good news in this psalm, that although we are like grass, we do have moments like those flowers, moments that flourish. We do some really great things. We flourish, we have flourishing times of wonderful success, wonderful joy, happiness, fulfillment. But like the grass, a flower's life, soon fades away. The beauty goes. The wind passes by, causing the grass and or the flower to fade away into nothing. You know, you see it, just, you know, you've seen it out at Tony's farm. There once was crops there, and now it's nothing there. It's gone. It's faded away. Blown away, vanished. As if the blade of grass, the crop, the flower, whatever it was, never really existed in the first place. Life is like that. And yet while we are flourishing, we fail to see this reality so often, don't we? But God in his grace writes these words to remind us of this real, this reality, this as his creatures. What we try and do is we try and hide it. We try and hide these truths. We try and ignore it. Try and put it in the archives of our minds. But Psalm 103 is very honest about life. You know, my mum is in Logan Lodge on Fridays. We take the kids down there normally. I normally try and visit again a couple of times, but normally Friday is the kids' day. And when visiting her, you soon see, when you look around, that the flourishing days have all gone. They have a little box at the front of their room, and many people have pictures. They have pictures of their achievements, their family, different things. Pictures of their youth. People who once had similar hopes, dreams and achievements that we share today, but they've all passed away. They are fading away, sadly soon to be gone, that person. And that's life as the Bible describes it. Do you think the Bible's got it right? Think God's word has got it right? It's very honest, but it's very real, isn't it? I want you to think about your grandparents, or maybe great-grandparents. Do you know their names? Your great-grandparents. Do you know their stories? Do you know where they lived? What career they had? What great achievements they did? You know, I know my great-grandfather came from Germany. He settled and had farms around Kapunda, which is above Gawler in South Australia. Cass's great-grandfather was actually in World War One. He was a light horseman on the horse, obviously, charging into Beersheba or somewhere like that. But probably that's about it. Their life and their achievements has vanished like a flower. They once flourished, but now it's not even, we don't even remember. These are important people, because without these people, we wouldn't have existed. And yet their lives have faded away, maybe limited to an old picture or a listing in a family tree. Everything they did, the hard work they did, the goals they achieved, whatever it was, nobody knows very much about it anymore. They're not even memories. And that'll be our lives in 2 to 3 generations. You think you are flourishing is exciting. You think surely someone's going to remember how great I am. But it won't last. It'll disappear like everything else. Yes, we have some modern technology. Some people may look at videos. But if you had videos of your great-great-grandparents, would you go and sit and look at them? Would you have the time? We're so busy on Facebook. No one cares. No one will care much. I'm not trying to sound depressing. It does sound a bit depressing, but it's reality. It's the reality of life. Some people are a bit into those things and like getting into family history. It's a bit of a trend in some places, but generally. When was the last time you looked at an old family photo and said, that's my great-great-grandparents who did, I don't know, or an old movie? Why? Because we're living right now for those flourishing times, aren't we? Ecclesiastes 2:24, which was written by David's son, Solomon, tells us that since life is so short and temporal, the best advice is simply work hard, eat, drink and enjoy life. And acknowledge that all blessings come from God. That's his advice. Life is like the grass and the flower. It really doesn't last that long. Before you know it, life disappears and people will know it no more. But there's some really good news in Psalm 103. And the good news is that God is nothing like us. God is nothing like the grass or the flower. And that's our second point. That's the best photo I could find on. So I couldn't. What does an everlasting God look like? And you put a photo. But the steadfast love, verse 17. But the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So our second point from that Psalm 103 in verses 17 to 19 is the reality of who God is. Our God is everlasting. He's eternal. God's steadfast love is everlasting, unlike us, whose lives are here for a moment and gone. God's love doesn't vanish or die. God's love is from eternity to eternity. And God's love is with those who fear him. The whole idea is that those who fear God are those who are in relationship with him. They love and fear him. And it's more than just a trembling at the knees. Because if David was trembling in fear before God, he would be saying, "Woe is me, I face judgment." But no, David actually says something different. David says, "God doesn't deal with us as we deserve," verse 10. "No, he doesn't repay us according to our wrongs. No, God, his steadfast love and compassion is greater than my sin." And this is a great picture of God. It's a great picture in the Old Testament of God. And it's a great picture of God's grace. Often we think, you know, there's like a graceful God in the New Testament, an angry God in the Old Testament. But this is who God is right through. God's grace has always been there, right throughout the history of humanity. And one way to look at that word in the Hebrew, fear, is in standing in awe of who God is, standing in honour. David stood in awe of God's unwavering love and grace. And like David, we stand in awe of his love, his grace, his majesty, realizing we are simply moist dust. That's what we are. We stand in awe seeing and loving God. And so we have a desire to please God, to live for God. Because we clearly see before God, we are like the grass and the flower. And we see that God is eternal, and therefore what God does and gives is everlasting. What God establishes and rules is everlasting. This is who God is. He's eternal. He's mighty. Look at verses 8 to 14. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame," and listen to this, "and he remembers that we are dust," not moist dust. So yet within his eternal nature of God, within his righteousness, our God is loving. Our God is merciful and gracious to those who love and fear him. The Lord is slow to anger, remembering that we are dust. Abounding in steadfast love, a love that lasts forever. Unlike us who flourish just for a moment, God's love flourishes eternally. God's love and grace doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve. God is holy. He's a holy God who judges our wrong. He's a God who declares what's right or wrong. He declares and judges those who do evil. And often in the Old Testament, when we read the different stories and accounts, we see God doing that. He judged his people when they disobeyed. And we want a God like that. We want a God who judges. We want a God who is for justice, who doesn't see, has a desire not to see people get away with things, because we hate injustice. And yet, this God, our God, his steadfast love doesn't deal with us according to our sins. That's the good news, because if he did, none of us would stand before him. Rather, God treats us according to his steadfast, everlasting love. Even though we deserve his righteous anger because we sin, we receive forgiveness. Isn't this good news, the great news of the gospel? That our God, rather than repay us for our wrongs, declares his love for us, and in this God overlooks our sins. Verses 11 to 14 of Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Our God shows compassion to us like a child, as a father figure. Isn't this the best relationship we could ever have as piles of walking dust? God is from everlasting to everlasting. Don't you want to know this God more and more? Discover his love more and more. Discovering it through his word as you read about him. And you can find that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all about a God of grace. This psalm, however, is incomplete, because this psalm is only half the story. Because you see, God did something amazing. God did something amazing. Not only did God tell us about his love, actually God showed us his love in Jesus. This psalm was written to God's people in God's partial kingdom, which is like an earthly kingdom that was happening at that time with King David. God was at work through his people with a future promise of a future fulfilled, perfected kingdom. And here God's people lived under God's covenant through Moses. They lived under the covenants and commands, and this is what the Old Testament is sort of all about. God's people lived and walked under these covenants and laws. And this covenant pointed them forward to a greater kingdom through a greater covenant found in Jesus. Hebrews 8 fills in the rest of the story if we look at verses 6 to 7. Hebrews chapter 8. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would be no occasion to look for a second. So Jesus was that fulfillment of this promised kingdom. His covenant is an everlasting covenant with us. We see God in this becoming flesh. Not like the Old Testament covenant written through that came through Moses, which was good news for them, but this is a greater, greater promise. Jesus is the one who fulfills Psalm 103, because he actually does remove our transgressions from us. That's through the cross, Jesus' death for you and me removes our sin. And it's through Jesus that God is able to forgive us. Because of Jesus, we don't receive the punishment for sin, even though we deserve it. We don't receive the wrath of God, even though we deserve it. Through Jesus, as far as the east is to the west, God has removed that sin. And along with it, God is no longer angry at us because of Christ's work on the cross. In this, God's eternal, everlasting love for us is declared. That's why we love Jesus. That's why we talk about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. That's why we live for Jesus. Because in Psalm 103, we see a glimpse of the hope revealed in Jesus. Jesus declares to us God's love. God, in fact, has just turned everything upside down. And rather than dealing with us the way we deserve, he gives us grace. And that grace gives us hope. Because life doesn't end with the wind of our mortal life blowing us away into nothing. But in Jesus we have eternal life. In Jesus we have an eternal hope. John 3:16, it is always used heaps. And I sort of, when I put it there, thinking about it, I'm going to say it anyway because it is God's word. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only son of God. So eternal life rather than eternal perishing. A life that has no condemnation or judgment. It's all through Jesus. Believe in Jesus and have eternal life. Disbelieve, ignore, and you're left to face God's wrath and judgment. There are two ways to live. Steve Jobs was probably described as one of the most creative and innovative businessmen in our history. Obviously, you know him through Apple, iPhone, all the great things you sit there and think about every day. If you've got an iPhone, you don't probably think about, oh, praise Steve Jobs for that. Even he's a distant memory now. Yet at the age of 56, his flourishing, successful life ended with cancer taking his life. Not only that, his mother was in a nursing home suffering from dementia. She probably didn't even know of his success. And she probably didn't even know that her son had died. Her successful son had died. Life flourishes for a season and then it's gone. But God is nothing like that. He's eternal. He calls us to enter into an eternal covenant fellowship relationship with him as his people. Not quite a line off Forrest Gump, but life is like a box of chocolates. One moment you're enjoying all the various flavours and experience, then it all comes to an end. The box is eventually empty and all your enjoyments are gone. Like the grass and the flower, it comes and then it goes. Nothing but a distant memory of the next generation. And yet knowing God is eternal. It's eternal and everlasting. His love is from eternity to eternity. It has no end. And he's a loving God who wants to be like a loving father to you and me. The question is, do you know the everlasting God? Do you know the love of Jesus in your life? Do you see him through this temporal life? It's really important. We've got to get this. Knowing God and his eternity, his everlasting love will cause you to sing the words of Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. And I want to conclude with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like eagle's wings. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this wake-up call of life. And Lord, we thank you for the grace that you have in speaking to us through this. Lord, you speak all these things in love because you really want us to see our life and then look to you and see who you are. And then ultimately look and see Jesus. Lord, help us to just wrestle with this. Help us to grasp this. Lord, when we feel like sometimes our achievements and things aren't happening the way we want them to be, Lord, help us to look to you as our everlasting God, knowing that all these things we do are temporal. Knowing that many things we do are good things and great things. But ultimately, Lord, if our life doesn't have you, it's just completely empty. So Lord, help us, we pray through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.